Catty posed extremely professionally. I'd been running after my sister all day and hadn't sat down for a minute. When I massaged my tired legs, my mother shouted,
"Get her some water!"
As she spoke, my mother stroked Catty's face. "Drink enough water to have beautiful skin." I rushed to get a water bottle, but as soon as I turned around, I was caught by a wire that made all the lights in the studio fall and hit me.
Ah!
I groped my way out of the lights and saw my sister looking at me worriedly.
"Are you alright? I didn't mean to."
Suddenly, my mother rushed in front of me.
"What the fudge are you doing, you scoundrel?"
She dragged me out of the studio and locked me outside in the cold. "Hi, I'm Kristen, the younger sister of the famous model Catty. My older sister was supported by my mother to become a model since the age of 14 and always received her favor. On the contrary, I always had to follow Catty to work as a servant. Sometimes I wondered, what if I had my sister's life? Would my mother treat me differently if I was as perfect as Catty?" One day, as I was just setting breakfast on the table, my mother and Catty showed up. My mother shouted to me,
"Hurry up and iron the clothes I left on the bed. Your sister needs them in the next 15 minutes.
I rushed to her bedroom and oh my gosh, I realized that the pile of clothes to iron was taller than me. While I was busy working, suddenly a noise startled me. I rushed out to see what happened. As soon as I entered the kitchen door, my mother pointed directly at me.
"Why did you keep the plate so close to the edge of the table? What if it broke and hurt Catty?"
I impotently went and cleaned up the fragments on the ground. That was right. If I was as perfect as Catty, my mother wouldn't let me get hurt. Suddenly, her phone rang. At this time, my stomach suddenly growled because I had not eaten anything since morning. I took the waffle on the table, quickly stuffed it into my mouth, and chewed. As I was munching on the last bite, my mother aggressively made a dash at Catty, hurled the phone to the ground, and it bounced right back at me. But don't worry, I'm very agile. Immediately, she spoke up.
"Catty, I told you to stay away from men. See what you did."
I quickly took out my phone to see. The news that my sister was dating a 35-year-old man was on the first page of every article. My mother sighed.
"Open a press conference to announce that he has seduced you."
"But I really love him. If I can't be with the person I love, I'd rather be a common person, not a model." My mother angrily overturned the dining table.
"Ungrateful bastard!"
She was about to rush in and beat Catty, but I quickly intervened to give my sister a chance to run away. Suddenly, my mother stared at me, and I realized something was wrong as she began to evaluate me from top to bottom. She looked depressed and slumped down in the chair.
"Catty is the main breadwinner in this house. Now if the contract is cancelled, we'll be broke. If your sister was as docile as you, I wouldn't suffer so much."
I put my hand on my mother's shoulder to comfort her. She quickly grabbed my hand.
"Kristen, let's replace Catty. Then we can solve the problem at hand."
Yes, I was both more obedient and more docile than Catty. As long as I took my sister's place, everything would be solved easily. Thanks to Mom, I got myself refurbished from head to toe. Oh my god, look at me! This was the supermodel Kristen! In addition, I also attended catwalk classes, learned how to pose in front of the camera, and answer interviews. Every class started in the morning and ended late at night, but I still felt very happy. One day, I came home to find Catty studying with her friends in the living room and talking cheerfully. It had been a long time since the last time I saw that smile from Catty. Not at all like the industrial smile in the magazine. While I was having breakfast with my sister in the next morning, my mother angrily came and snatched the waffle from my plate.
"Do you know how many calories are in this cake? I don't spend a lot of money on you to let you destroy your merits like that!"
After that, my mother immediately dumped my breakfast in the trash and punished me for a 3-kilometer run in the park. It was all my fault. I should have known my mother would be angry if I ate such fatty food. Since then, I was supervised by my mother for every meal. Moreover, my mother forced me to skip school to exercise until I lost weight. Every night, I was so hungry that I had to sneak down to the kitchen to find food. Every time I did it, I thought, "It's okay. Tomorrow I will exercise for one more hour." One night, I excitedly opened the fridge, but oh no, only green vegetables and apples. My mother must have wanted to turn me into a horse that can speak. Luckily, I found a slice of pizza in the fridge and quickly devoured it. Suddenly, I heard footsteps coming down the stairs, getting closer and closer to me. I quickly stuffed the pizza into my mouth, but it was impossible for me to swallow. It's over. If my mother saw me, I would die. The kitchen lights were on. It was Catty with a baseball bat. She sighed. "Come on, Kristen. I thought you were a thief." I looked at Catty and laughed, sending the pizza in my mouth all over my sister's face. Catty signaled quiet. Then she ordered pizza for me. We sat in the yard, ate and talked to each other. I looked at Caddy and sighed. I once thought your life was great. You can buy anything you like and be admired by many people. Caddy looked sad, then she told everything. It turned out that because of our mother's control for 5 years, Caddy was unable to attend her favorite chemistry class or make new friends. That caused Caddy's academic results to drop, and she didn't have any friends by her side. Caddy said while trying to hold back her tears. I was the one who revealed the dating scandal myself. That man was hired by me. What? I just want to get rid of our mother, so I can go back to being who I really am. I was taken aback by Caddy's confession. I laid all night to think about what she said. The next morning, as I was bored with munching on an apple, my mother ran in with a smile on her face. Oh, Kristen, darling. After eating, we'll calculate your body mass index. Gluck. I gulped and worried about the undigested pizza in my stomach. After that, she took me to the sports center. I stood nervously on the scale. My mother looked at my weight index and angrily asked, You've been on a diet for a long time. Why have you gained so much weight? Facing my mother's harsh interrogation, I had to admit my mistake. She yelled at me. Do you know how hard that contract is to get? If you don't want to ruin my plans, go get liposuction! I was shocked by what my mother said. I couldn't believe that she really forced me to go to the hospital. The doctor advised my mother not to let me have liposuction at this age, but she ignored everything and signed the surgery form. I didn't accept it. You can't force me to do surgery. It's my body. Unfortunately, you don't have any choice. Then she waved her hand to ask the bodyguard to lock me up. That night, I was observed outside the hospital room all night. If I continued to stay here, I would be controlled by her for the rest of my life. I had to get out of here. Then I pretend to have a stomachache. I told the bodyguard that I wanted to go to the bathroom. He followed me step by step until I pointed my finger to the right to distract him. Why is my mother here this time? As soon as he turned his attention to where I pointed, I ran straight ahead. He also quickly noticed and chased me. Arriving in the lobby, I didn't know which way to run. But suddenly, a hand covered my mouth and dragged me into the room. It was Caddy. Hurry up, put on this nurse uniform. I'll impersonate you to distract him. With no other choice, I quickly changed. Waiting for the bodyguard to chase my sister, I hurriedly ran in the opposite direction. After running for a while, when my legs couldn't take it anymore, I reached the police station. My mother was immediately arrested for everything she had done to us just because of her own benefits. And we were taken to our grandparents' house in the countryside. Although we no longer had a fancy house or beautiful clothes, we were not under my mother's control and could do what we wanted.
I was gone for 5 minutes. But 5 minutes was always enough for them. When I went back to the table where my boyfriend Mike and I were having coffee, I saw some girl who I didn't know sitting in my chair. She didn't seem bothered by the fact that my purse was hanging on the back of my chair at all. What about Mike? He didn't seem to have any idea what was going on and was smiling like nothing had happened. It pissed me off. I wasn't ready to put up with another stranger this time. So I decided to act in the spirit of a typical bouncer. I walked up to her, grabbed her by the hair, and dragged her aside. Ouch! The girl screamed. What are you doing? Help! I was attacked by a psycho! You'll know how it is to hit on my boyfriend. A shocked Mike froze and decided not to interfere. Finally, I let go of the girl's hair. And she ran away so fast, she should be in the Olympics. Everyone in the cafe looked at me with horror. She was messing with my boyfriend. As if apologizing, I said and returned to the table. Hi, my name is Katie. I'm a little jealous, but I can't help it. My boyfriend is incredibly handsome and graces the covers of many fashion magazines. Mike was 17, and he was already working at a very famous modeling agency. He participated in fashion shows, starred in commercials. I do not know what he saw in me, but it was love at first sight. I had just moved to a new school, and I was already head over heels in love with the handsomest guy in the world. That's usually how an unrequited love story starts. But I got lucky. Mike came up to me one day and said,
Would you like to go to the movies?
I was taken aback, but still squeezed out of myself. Sure. And so we started dating. Yeah, some would say I found my happiness. And I kind of agree with that. But it wasn't that easy. Mike was never alone. He had girls around him all the time. at school, in class, at the modeling agency, cafes, movies, the playground. It was as natural for Mike as breathing. I was suffocating with jealousy. But that was just the beginning. In and out of school, I was always near him. I was more or less calm about Mike. But when he went to Paris for a week, I started going crazy. And with eyes red with fatigue, I was 24 hours a day monitoring his social media. And God forbid there was a girl in the picture. And then Mike was back and I was happy again. As for the cafe scene, yeah, I lost my temper a little bit there. But it's understandable too. Once we were supposed to do a biology project. When they started announcing couples, I had my fingers crossed. I wish it was Mike. I wish it was Mike. Miss Morris, meanwhile, announced, Katie and Rob. Oh, shit, I blurted out, but quietly. Miss Morris continued, Mike and Tiffany. It was comparable to a knockout. Tiffany is the captain of the cheerleading squad and just a walking stereotype of the school beauty. After class, I went up to Miss Morris and tried to protest her decision, but all I got in response was, "Your opinion doesn't matter here." Rob, who had been standing beside me the whole time, said,
"Are we going to work on ours?"
I let out a sigh of despair and nodded affirmatively. Rob was over the moon, and I noticed that he liked me for a long time. When I found Mike at recess, I asked him, "Where will you be working on the project?"
"Tiffany invited me to her house."
"Cool, I think they have a hot tub."
I tried not to show, but it was hard. Not only was Tiffany beautiful, but she lived in a huge mansion where she was allowed to do whatever she wanted. Her parents worshipped her like a deity. She could do nothing but dance, though. I tried to start from afar. "Look, is Tiffany even good, do you think?"
"Kind of,"
Mike answered briefly. "And she can dance."
"I think so."
I couldn't help but blurt it out. "Do you think you could fall in love with someone like Tiffany?"
"What? What's your point?"
"Just answer it."
"I don't think I want anyone but you."
I smiled, but it didn't make me feel any better. Tiffany had her eye on Mike for a long time. I knew that for a fact. She'd told her friends in the locker room once, "If I was dating Mike, we'd be the prettiest couple in school." "Well, that's not going to happen," I whispered.
"What?"
Mike asked back. "I said I love you."
"I love you too."
It was project day. We had to do an experiment on a live mouse and find out how the reward system worked. This required building a small cage and a cheese dispenser, like in the textbook. Generally, I loved biology, so I was sure that Rob and I would have no problem, especially since he was a straight-A student. I invited the guy over to my house. Rob showed up an hour early and brought a bag of chips and a Coke. We started working on the project, but something inside me was rebelling. I couldn't concentrate and reread the textbook page by page just to understand it. I couldn't stop thinking about Mike. Knowing that he was in Tiffany's house at the same time was excruciating. Rob, meanwhile, had finished the cheese dispenser and asked how things were. "Great," I lied. "But, you know, let's put it on hold for a while."
"But we have to turn it in soon."
"We'll make it." I wanted so badly to go to Tiffany's and take a peek at what was going on to put my mind at rest, but I didn't want to go alone either, so I lied to Rob again. "Look, there's just one thing we're missing here. We need to go somewhere and get it."
"Why don't I run home?"
Rob suggested. "Don't be silly," I said, and we went to Tiffany's. I didn't know what to do yet, but I was determined. Mike is a great guy, but he doesn't know how to say no. He's too cooperative, and who knows what can happen when he's around a girl like Tiffany. I knew where she lived beforehand. I guess I felt like I couldn't take it. So there we were. The house was really big, like the kind of mansions where old reclusive aristocrats live, or vampires who lure young girls there. At that moment, Tiffany herself was the kind of vampire I needed to get rid of. "Here we are," I told Rob.
"Wow, is this Dracula's residence?"
That's funny. Rob was embarrassed. "All we have to do is sneak in through that window on the second floor."
"What? I thought we were here for a detail."
"Yeah, that's where Tiffany lives. And while I'm looking for the part, you're going to ring the bell and pretend you're an encyclopedia salesman."
"But she knows me. We're in the same class.
Trust me, she has no idea who you are.
Okay, fine. But I don't like it.
I patted Rob on the shoulder and climbed up to the second floor, gripping the gutter tightly with my hands. It was pretty high, and I didn't want to fall down and die right here in front of Tiffany's house. As I climbed onto the balcony, I looked down and waved to Rob. He waved back. I waved for him to go to the door and ring the bell. The guy left. I opened the door and went inside. Everything in Tiffany's house looked pompous and expensive. Marble floors and stairs, huge chandeliers, paintings on the walls. Yes, a vampire lives here for sure, I whispered to myself. I walked down the long hallway. I didn't know exactly where the terrible Tiffany's lair was located, where she lures naive, handsome guys like Mike. At that moment, Rob rang the doorbell. I barely had time to hide behind the curtains. First, I saw Tiffany come out of the room, and then I saw Mike. He came downstairs too. While they were gone, I slipped into the room. There was a mouse cage on the bed and a textbook next to it. Well, that doesn't mean anything yet, I decided. We need more information. I couldn't think of anything better to do than hide in the closet. A few minutes later, Mike and Tiffany returned.
Rob is a weird kid, Mike said.
I've never seen him before, Tiffany said.
He's in my class. I still haven't figured out why he came here. Okay, let's keep going.
Where were we?
Something that makes you feel good.
Ah, that's it! I couldn't take this betrayal anymore and jumped out of the closet. I knew it! Tiffany shrieked in horror and rushed over to Mike. You're in love with Tiffany!
What are you doing here?
There was no face on either of them, watching you cheat on me.
But we were just working on a project.
I heard everything. Where did you settle on? What makes it fun? I mocked Mike ineptly.
That's part of the experiment. You have to give the mouse food to program its actions. Without pleasure, it won't budge.
There was an uncomfortable pause.
We can't go on like this,
Mike said irritably. What are you talking about?
Your paranoia.
But...
No, Katie, it's over.
Mike, not wanting to hear my excuses, left the room. I guess you can find your own way out, Tiffany told me sarcastically and ran after Mike. I came home depressed. I couldn't believe Mike had left me, all because of Tiffany. Who am I kidding? My inner voice said. This was all my fault. Why did I have to go to her house? I knew Mike would never lie to me, but it was too late. I woke up with the distinct feeling that I had to get Mike back. But how? Thinking about how to get my boyfriend back, I had completely forgotten about my project with Rob. Thankfully, my classmate had done it alone. I found Mike and Tiffany at school, standing at their desks, talking. I went over to the girl. Look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to barge into your house and act stupid. What else do you call someone who doesn't trust her loving boyfriend? Anyway, I'm sorry. Okay, Tiffany replied. I went back to Rob in the mouse cage. Both of our projects got top marks. I didn't have much to do with it, though. But I promised Rob I'd go to the movies with him to see his favorite sci-fi movies sometime.
Cool.
The guy was happy. After class, Mike came up to me and said, as if nothing had happened,
What a hassle with these mice. Try to get them to run a maze for a piece of cheese.
You did it.
So did you.
He took my hand and walked me home. Of course, my jealousy didn't magically disappear. But at least now I wasn't sneaking into other people's houses and punching the next girl who fell in love with Mike. Beauty requires sacrifice. What would you do if all the girls at school were in love with your boyfriend and tried to take him away from you? Write your answers in the comments, like the video, and share it with your friends.
Hi, my name is Kira, and recently, memory lapses almost ruined my life. Now I'm back to normal and remember almost everything with ease. Well, my memory problems didn't start at birth. All junior high and first years of high school, I remembered absolutely everything. I was a great student, memorized stuff easily, and even helped my friends with their lessons.
Kira has a phenomenal memory, the teacher said. She can memorize long poems, formulas, and dates very quickly. You have to use that ability.
My parents were thrilled. They complimented me all the time and said that they had high hopes for my amazing memory. I won school competitions. I was the best in my class and even in the whole school. However, my triumph didn't last long. If in junior high school, they still wanted to be friends with me because I was the smartest, then in high school, of course, I had my detractors. Those of you who are at least once the best at something know how it is. One day you get a round of applause, and the next day they're calling you names behind your back. That's exactly what happened to me. My first enemy was Olivia. We went to different schools in junior high, and she was the best at hers. Now she had a rival in my person. At first, Olivia took my progress as a challenge.
"Kira, congratulations, you did the best on the test,"
my teacher complimented me one day. Olivia snorted loudly and hissed, leaning toward her friend.
"Big deal, one time. Let's see who's the best next week."
But next week too, my test was judged the best. And next week, and the next week. That's how Olivia knew I wasn't just a misunderstanding, but a real competitor and an enemy. One day, a classmate caught me in the school hallway, pinned me against the wall and blurted it out.
"Listen, you, if you think you're the smartest, I hasten to disappoint you. I've collected every award in my school, and I'm going to do it again. But what can I do if I have a perfect memory?"
I shrugged my shoulders. "Just admit it that you're number two now, that's all." Olivia recoiled from me and stared wide-eyed. She looked like I'd punched her in the face.
"Number two? We'll see about that. I would do anything to make my parents proud."
And the classmate wasn't lying. I wasn't too worried at the time. What's she gonna do? Kill me? That's ridiculous. I didn't even tell my parents about the story. But Olivia was determined. She and her friends were going to teach me a lesson. The girls broke into my locker, stuffed it full of books, and broke the lock. When I tried to open the locker door to put my things, it didn't open right away. I pulled the door as hard as I could. It flew open, and a ton of heavy books and textbooks fell on my head. In fact, that was the beginning of the worst chapter of my life. After the blows on my head, I lost consciousness. I didn't know what kind of books those bitches had put in there. Probably all the volumes of a medical encyclopedia. I woke up already in the hospital. The first thing I saw were my parents' upset faces.
"Kira,"
my mother exclaimed.
"How are you feeling, honey?
What happened?"
I couldn't remember anything at all. My parents told me about the locker and the books. The doctors reassured my parents. They said it was just a minor bruise and that it wouldn't affect my life in any way. For about an hour, my mom and dad calmed me down and promised me I'd be home in a couple of days.
"You need more sleep now,"
he said. Dad stroked my head.
"We'll definitely visit you tomorrow."
But at that moment, I suddenly looked at my parents fearfully and asked, "Where am I? What happened?" And that's when mom and dad realized that the bruise wasn't so minor. Yes, I had blackouts. And they reoccurred so often that every hour, my parents had to, from the beginning, to tell me where I was and what had happened. The doctors were just throwing up their hands. They took all the necessary x-rays and found nothing wrong. From that moment on, however, my life changed completely. At first, my parents still hoped that returning to my familiar surroundings would help me with my memory lapses. However, on the first day, I had a real tantrum when I suddenly found myself in the middle of the school hallway. I had completely forgotten how I woke up this morning, how I was going to school, and I didn't remember the way to school either.
"No, schooling is out of the question,"
said a worried dad.
"Only distance learning."
But distance learning wasn't going to do any good either. Once I had learned something, within an hour, I couldn't remember anything I'd learned. That's how my successes ended. And most importantly, I didn't know who had set up the textbook incident. I vaguely remember disturbing Olivia's life, but I couldn't remember our last conversation or anything that might have pointed to a classmate. But I was sure that one day I would remember everything and find the culprit that was phenomenal. My memory would now be considered by the dory fish. About a week after, I switched. After I switched to homeschooling, someone rang our doorbell. I went downstairs and froze. Standing on the doorstep was Olivia and her friends. My mom, who had opened the door for guests, I think she was confused too. I'd been sick the whole time. None of my classmates or school friends had ever come to see me. Oh, that's right. I don't have any friends.
"Kira, how are you feeling? We came to check on you."
Olivia seemed very sincere, and so did the girls who decided to keep her company. Seemed pretty friendly. I sensed some kind of unease, but I couldn't figure out what I didn't like. My mother invited my classmates into the house. She set the table and we all sat down for tea.
You really don't remember anything at all?
Olivia asked me thoughtfully. I remember things until I black out. I don't remember much since then, since I came to my senses. I explained.
What do the doctors say? Will your memory come back?
My mom explained to the girls that the doctors are trying to help me. But so far, the therapy is having very little effect. The girls were relieved and looked at each other. I was very pleased that they cared about me. However, by the end of the tea party, I had lost some of my memory again.
Olivia? Girls? What are you doing here?
I stared at the guests in surprise, and they stared at me.
Your friends are here to see you, said my mother patiently.
Friends? I don't remember having any friends at all. Olivia suddenly jumped to me and took my hand.
Of course we're friends, Kira. You're so good, and you're about to be the best in school again.
The girl almost cried, and I smiled back at her. Weird. My scrappy memories were telling me that she and I were major enemies. But how could an enemy care so much? I must have got it all wrong. One morning, my mother left me home alone. She needed to get to the office right away.
I'll sign the papers and be right back, honey.
Don't worry, I smiled. I'll just lie down and watch the show. Nothing will happen. But about 15 minutes after Mom left, the doorbell rang. I had to go downstairs and open it. There was Olivia on the doorstep.
Hi, Kira. I took the afternoon off from class and I thought, why don't we go for a walk together?
You probably don't get out of the house at all. Yeah, I rarely went out and I only went out with my parents. We were always in a hurry to get back before I'd forgotten everything again. I don't even know. It was scary to leave home without my mom and dad, but Olivia was my friend.
We'll just go for a ride in the park and come back.
I got changed, got on my friend's bike, and we rode. We rode quite a long time. I was beginning to get worried. In general, I remembered my neighborhood, but at some point I realized I didn't recognize the houses and cafes we were passing. Aren't we far away? I got worried.
No, we're right down the street,
Olivia smiled.
You poor thing, your memory lapses.
I calmed down. Yes, it was probably my memory that was playing tricks on me again. Finally, we stopped. I got off the bike and looked around. There were only abandoned houses and deserted streets around. This isn't a park.
I think I took a wrong turn.
Olivia was puzzled.
Let me ask someone for directions, because my phone is dead.
The phone! I forgot all about it! My cell phone is on the bed in my room. I must hurry back in case my mother comes looking for me.
Stay here and don't go anywhere, my friend told me and drove around the corner.
And then I lost my memory again. I found myself in the middle of an unfamiliar street with no memory of how I got here. I was in such a panic. What am I gonna do now? Where are my parents? And where is my home? Why didn't I have my phone with me? And where had all the people gone? Crying, I sat down on the sidewalk.
Hey, miss.
I looked up and saw a man. He was looking out the window of his car, coming out of nowhere.
Is something wrong?
I'm lost. I don't know where I am or how to get home.
Wow, do you remember your address? I'll give you a lift.
The man seemed friendly enough. He got out of the car and headed towards me. But then my memory, which had failed me time and again, reminded me of maniacs and murderers who also look nice and then lure their victims into a trap.
Stay away from me!
I screamed at the top of my lungs.
Miss, I'm a policeman.
The man went to his pocket for some reason. I thought for sure he was going to kill me. So I jumped up and ran down the street as far as I could see. But I didn't run for long. I tripped on the uneven pavement and fell down, hitting my head as hard as I could. I woke up again in the hospital. And again, my parents were leaning over me.
Kira!
My mother was crying now. Did you find me? That's good. I went with Olivia and I got lost and that man.
You remember everything?
Yes, after another stroke, my memory magically came back to me. And now I remember everything. The feud with Olivia and her threats and how she showed up at my house pretending to be my friend. Sometimes people cross the line to be the best they can be. Like Olivia, trying to get her parents' approval. She went completely off the rails. My classmate was just trying to teach me a lesson by doing that prank with the textbooks. But when I lost my memory, I realized I overreacted. It's one thing to have a bump,
but it's another to lose consciousness and amnesia. Olivia was afraid of getting kicked out of school for that prank, or even go to jail. So she first made sure I remembered very little, and then decided to play it safe and take me away to another neighborhood, leaving me alone. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? I don't know what would have happened to me if it hadn't been for that policeman. Even on his day off, he couldn't get past a damsel in distress. Olivia didn't go to jail, but now she has to work with a psychologist all the time. And I'm back to being the best student ever. If you were me, would you forgive Olivia? Be sure to share your thoughts in the comments below this clip.
Mrs. Dunn, I can't let you in.
The head of the mansion's security said sternly, blocking my way to the helipad. He used to be good to me. That's right, I'm Mrs. Dunn. It's my house too. Get out of my way or I'll fire you. I didn't even think I could be so bossy.
Your husband said that you are deprived of your right to property. It is true, temporarily.
This square cretin coldly rapped out and smiled disgustingly. You want to know why it all turned against me? Well, okay. My name is April, and this is the story of how I married the ugliest but richest guy for his money. I freaked out and went to the garage, where my faithful personal driver was always waiting for me. But the driver refused to drive me too. He just looked at me in disappointment and said that after what I'd done, he wouldn't even let me get in the car. But we're friends, help me. I pounded my fists desperately on the limo glass.
Mr. Dunn is my friend too. I never imagined that you could hurt his heart so much.
The driver shook his head and turned away. Well, I don't care. I'll take a cab myself. While I was hailing a cab, it started pouring rain, and they wouldn't even let me under the roof. Everyone in the mansion hated me. Although having lived in poverty for a long time, I imagined life in the mansion as something fabulous. You think this is going to be a story about a poor gray mouse that no one noticed? No, it wasn't quite like that. That's the thing, I've always been beautiful. I didn't have any money for makeup, but even without it, guys liked me. In fact, it was for my natural beauty that they valued me. But our life is not a love affair. Beauty doesn't matter to many people, if you don't have a cent. First of all, my terrible worn clothes ruined everything. Even the guys who liked me didn't dare go out with me, because they'd just get laughed at. Secondly, my mother worked as a janitor at school, and was strict with everyone. She was always trying to protect me, but it didn't help, because I was an outcast for the rest of high school. I had a hard time getting into college. It was there that I finally began to feel like a normal person. The students didn't pay as much attention to my status. I realized this when all of us, poor and rich alike, gathered for a student initiation ceremony. There were several hundred of us in the gym. Everyone was having fun. And then paint came pouring down from the ceiling. It was really cool. Then the senior men handed out water pistols. We poured water on each other. And student life would have been fine if I hadn't, out of habit, avoided people. I had only one friend, Ellie. I was blowing guys off because I was ashamed of myself. But then there he was, my future husband. There was a rumor going around college that Dylan Dunn was going to appear in person at the session. All the girls were excited, and some of them even changed their looks to get attention. Ha, Dylan Dunn. Is that short for Dee Dee? That is so ridiculous. I was amused by his first and last name. But Ellie didn't share my humor. This is the son of Alan Dunn himself. Someday his designs will eclipse the glory of Apple. So that's what this is about? Is it all about the money? I didn't even try to hide my disappointment. He is a millionaire, and he must be so handsome that our athletes can't compare to him. No one has ever seen him before. Indeed, Dylan was not on any social network. The mysterious millionaire. And there were a lot of rumors flying around about him. Some of the girls even suggested that Dylan and his family were mysterious vampires with unimaginable wealth, like in Twilight. But the guys were only leaning towards one theory, that Dylan Dunn was just a rich jerk. And then the day X came. Dylan arrived at the college in a fancy limousine. Everyone was shocked. The limo door swung open all by itself. The girls gathered around in anticipation. to see how the handsome man would step outside and the sun would sparkle on his cold, pale skin. All these dreams were shattered by amicable laughter and whistling. Out of the limousine came a guy as ridiculous as possible. Nickname Dee Dee suited him perfectly. He was unnaturally thin, with long, bleached hair. Instead of a classy, stylish suit, he wore stretched, shapeless clothes. On the first day, Dylan was named the ugliest guy in the entire college. But you know what surprised me the most? The girls still ran after him. I don't get it. It's about the money again. I was pacing around my friend's room, fiddling with a pillow. People don't care about your looks as long as you have money. Ellie calmly watched how the contents of her pillow were flying all over the room. And you think that's normal? I hate greedy people. April, relax. My friend even stood up. Why does that worry you so much? Because I've never held more than $1,000 in my life. I've never had any money, and greenbacks ruined my life in high school. Everybody's so obsessed with it, they forget about humanity. And then I noticed that my friend's entire room was like covered in snow. I destroyed all the pillows. The worst part was realizing that secretly, I wanted to be rich too. I told Ellie one thing, and in my head I kept thinking about the fact that I wanted, for once, to feel what it was like to be rich. And soon, I had a chance to find out. In front of a pair, Ellie caught me in the hallway and took me aside. Dylan likes you! Her eyes lit up with excitement. Why would you think that? He looks at you in that way! And half the girls in college want to kill you for it! That's ridiculous. I turned away and suddenly bumped into Dylan. The weirdo stared at me without blinking, and then he held out his skinny hand and smiled. Oh no. Oh yes. What should I do? My head simply shut off at this moment. It's not just a guy, it's a millionaire. If I reciprocate, then all my troubles will disappear on their own. I would have money. On the other hand, I didn't want to stoop to those who chase guys for money. And Dee Dee, though a ridiculous freak, is still a human being. I couldn't do that to him. And you already know that I couldn't resist the temptation for long. It all started with gifts. Dylan didn't dare give them to me personally. He'd toss them to me, or give them to me through the guards. And he himself watched me closely from a distance. At first, I just ignored the gifts, and then I started giving them back. Dylan, don't waste your money and my nerves. I don't want anything from you. I'm sorry, but you are not my type. I returned the unlimited membership to the best spa center in town that he'd given me. Dylan said money was such a small thing. The most important thing is a person's soul. And then he added that he could see he wasn't my type. But he didn't understand that, because other girls are not repulsed by his looks at all. I had to tell him the truth, and I told him honestly that for a purse full of millions, they are ready for many things. I know, he answered with a smile. That's why I like you. Accept my gift. It's from the bottom of my heart. You barely know me. Why all this? Dylan said that I was the only one, and that he really liked me. Me? Oh, look, what a beautiful bird! I shouted and ran away like a complete fool, while he was looking in the direction I had pointed. My head was filled with all kinds of thoughts. I didn't like Dylan at all, but he liked me. What's more, he is willing to shower me with money just for talking to him. And that's when my head exploded. I started talking to Dylan, and then I started pretending that I liked him. And the more I pretended, the more generous he was. It's true, I had to transfer to distance learning. It became dangerous to be in college. Dylan's admirers gave me hell. Of course they thought it was because I was beautiful, so the main blow fell on my appearance. They pelted me with all sorts of nasty stuff and ruined my clothes. But the most cringeworthy part was ahead. They grabbed me and put a lot of self-tanner on me, and one of them took out a hair clipper and shaved me bald. I ended up being a bald bronze statue. But Dylan didn't turn his back on me and started spending even more money on me. And then we flew to Paris, and he proposed to me, right at the top of the Eiffel Tower. I couldn't refuse. It wasn't out of love. But I tried to kid myself that getting married would make him happy, and me, rich. everyone will remain on the plus side. Ellie didn't approve of my position. That is so low. I don't believe you will do that. You're the one who disapproved of the pursuit of wealth, and now you're one of those dolls? She didn't even look at me, turned her back to the window. And then she continued, "You're taking advantage of him. I can't believe my friend has turned into such a monster." And we had a fight. She didn't even come to my fancy wedding. Now I was fabulously rich, but that didn't make me any happier. Money didn't warm my soul. And the longer I lived in Dylan's mansion, the worse I felt. Everyone here adored my husband for his kindness. Already at the age of 19, he was contributing huge sums to charity. What's more, as it turned out, he used to be handsome. Dylan ruined his own looks to show everyone that beauty is not the main thing. And he loved me very much. Everyone at the mansion respected and appreciated me, but no one knew what a snake I really was. The situation worsened when I realized I was falling in love with my husband. "That's wonderful," you'll say. "No, it's a total fiasco," I will answer. At least I used to be able to lie and play my part. But the warmer I felt about him, the harder it was to deal with my conscience. I wish I'd told him the truth right away, but I didn't. I don't know how he found out, but maybe Ellie did. Dee Dee drove away, and I was left in a mansion with people who hated me. That's why I was waiting for a cab in the pouring rain. I knew where Dylan was going. That's why I followed him, to tell him how I felt. "Dylan, I love you for real." I couldn't hold back my tears, and I hugged him, but he pulled away.
"Why should I believe you? You're such a good liar."
"Dylan, I'm ready to lose all the money. I'm ready to go back to that trailer where I spent my entire childhood, as long as you forgive me and believe in my feelings. You don't have to give me a dime for the rest of my life, but I want to be with you."
This conversation went on for a long time, and Dylan said he'd give me another chance. But now everyone would be watching me closely. I paid the price for my greed by losing people's trust, lost a friend, and almost lost my husband. There's only one conclusion to be drawn. Greed ruins lives, turning people into animals. Have you ever succumbed to greed? Share your stories in the comments. Like this video and send it to your friends.